Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are a sub-science here to make things make sense.
Today, we're talking about the common cold. We're going to be starting with what you learned this week about our dogs, our relationships with them, and what it means if you love your dog. Then we're going to get into the common cold, in particular, this upcoming season and what you can expect, and also how you can prevent against the cold or help fight it naturally once you have one.
Namaste.
Lots of sicknesses coming up.
It's on me mind because I yesterday decided to get a double shot of,
COVID bivalent.
Clear liquid. I got a COVID bivalent shot and a flu shot in the same arm. Beam me up, Scotty. And I'm shivering right now.
Craig's been absolute hell today. Like, actually, when you first got them last night, you felt like kind of weird at first, but then you like seemed totally normal.
Oh,
and,
I felt
so much energy.
I love getting vaccines. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, did I not just play with fire and do the coolest thing science has ever given us ever?
Like,
I just
this morning when I saw your face, I was like, uh-oh. And you were like, I don't feel well. But yeah. I mean, generally,
I love that though.
Hours.
It means it's working.
Yeah,
it means it's working.
It is cool to be like, your body is creating immunity right now.
And if you could choose to get sick. Obviously I feel sick. I feel insane. But if you could choose to have this feeling, like I got to choose the day I experienced it, I knew it wouldn't be that bad. I know it's going to go away. And then I'm going to hopefully have the right flu variants on Australia's information. And I wanted the bivalent so bad because I'm bi.
Yeah, right.
but you always question my bi.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, you're definitely bi.
Okay, continue.
Why buy? Why not pan?
Oh, yeah, pan. I'm more pan.
Okay. Yeah. What's continue? What else is going on?
We're moving to Colombia in 4 days.
Yeah. Not forever, but just for a little bit.
Yeah. So that's going to be awesome.
I'm really nervous.
I said awesome sauce.
That's...
The vaccines are making me tweak.
Yeah. Canceled. So millennial to be like puns.
Okay. We need to start... accepting, leaning into
that we're millennials.
Yeah, and being embracing that we're millennials. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah.
We do.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. And I think that in itself can actually be the coolest thing you can do.
Yeah, and I think it's actually cool and okay and radical that I said awesome sauce. Like, I actually said
but
that.
But you have never said that before. So it's like,
but maybe
it cool?
It's because I was so embarrassed. I am a millennial. We are
millennials,
valid and smart, and we've seen a lot of this world.
Yeah, the world fucking hates millennials. Like,
why? We're so cool.
Well, I think actually it's a really big range of dates, I think. So yeah. I feel like it's like one of the bigger cohorts, but it feels like the older generation always had something to say about millennials. Then Gen Z is obsessed with millennials. It's like, okay, we get it.
Yeah, it's not our fault that we were really cool and came of age during Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah. We were just last night trying to figure out, like, what is the next generation? Apparently, it's Generation Alpha.
Like the really, really young kids?
Yeah, who obviously have, like, no cultural relevance yet.
Yeah.
But will be the ones who laugh.
Although I've seen a couple babies in some cool Converse, you know what I mean? They're certain trends.
It is fun as you get older to sort of wonder, like, what will that generation be like. Maybe more and more will be detached and will not even understand them at all. But now that we've gone through the transition and accepted we're millennials, it will be fun to see Gen Z have to do that same thing and be holding on to like the relevancy and like the cultural capital of being like, well, we define culture, and being like, actually no, Gen Alpha does now.
Yeah, it's like, cool, you made a TikTok, move on. Okay,
like,
wow, cringy. move on.
Are we moving on?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Oh, what did we learn this week
before I might vaccine sickness makes me start ripping on Gen Z, which I don't. Oh, I true. Love them. Yeah, they're love so Gen cool.
Yeah, they're
like
so interesting.
Way smarter than.
Smart.
Yeah.
They love. Understand their value. Yeah. They're not obsessed with capitalism yeah. in the same way.
Oh, I mean, God. They are.
We love. No, oh, sorry. They are, but I feel like even someone we were talking to last night who works with Gen Z and Gen X and a lot of people in their office was like, they are like 9 to 5. You're not exploiting me beyond this. This is my job. Yeah. Fire me, whatever. I don't care. Like, I'm not coming after those hours. Like, and then she was joking that millennials are still the ones yeah. like working late and like taking all the
because baby boomers slapped us around.
Okay. And it was like, yeah, you have to grind. Anyway, okay, what is
wow. there? It's really hard to move on from that subject these days. So I'm gonna talk about dogs. Cause I have one and he's right over there. And his name's Ernie, but gender's a construct, especially for dogs. So their name is Ernie. Mm-hmm. And so there was a new book that came. I love science book about book. Oh my God. These vaccines. I can't talk. I love science book about dog. I love science books about dogs because I guess I have one. Okay.
You have a dog or a science book? Like, about a dog.
Yeah, no, I have a dog. I truly could have cared less about dogs until I had a dog.
Yeah, you really didn't.
So this 2005 book, an older book, this new book was bringing it up, was saying that Homo sapiens maybe won out over Neanderthals because of our relationships with dogs and the
really?
Domestication of dogs. I mean, you know.
Right. More than one factor anyway.
Yes. But could be a stretch, but fun to think
aww,
about.
That's so and cute.
The reason they start to think that this relationship had like a profound impact was by studying the brain sizes of like canines, like from the domestication of wolves, like through history and humans.
Okay.
And they found that dogs' brains shrank as we domesticated them, okay. but human brains also shrank. And it was like, because they think that the dogs took over like the smelling and the guarding.
Could compensate for each
yes.
other.
And then like those aspects of the human experience, like were less necessary.
Yeah, you could optimize other areas.
And that happened around the time of Neanderthals, like, going out. So that's why he was like, maybe like the guarding and the yeah. So like I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. It is so interesting to think of Homo sapiens and Neanderthals at the same time, but like Homo sapiens having dogs and Neanderthals not.
Yeah, I know.
And then being like, sick 'em. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and then
Neanderthals
being like, oh shit, are they controlling those?
Yeah, like, oh my God, they decided to do that with wolves. Crazy. Yeah,
that is interesting.
Another thing the book said was that puppies who have more maternal contact in early life end up being more exploratory as dogs and are more engaged with people and objects.
Mm-hmm.
So like depending on like that like maternal, you know, development changes the dog's personality. So like sometimes people talk about breeds all the time.
Yeah.
They were kind of saying like obviously why you can be like, oh, I got my schnauzer, but it's acting different. It's like literally if the mom was had more contact with it, maybe it would be like more confident, exploratory and like people more. And that very young puppies, like when they're blind and are trying to find their way to hug like against their mom to like get the nipple, it's called thigmataxis.
Like that process of searching or what does it mean?
Yeah.
Thigmataxis, like that's like when.
Yeah, they go like if you were a dog science, you'd be like, oh my God, look at the thigmataxis happening amongst the dogs.
Oh, I love that. It's very sweet. It is pretty wild. I guess actually human babies are also,
cute.
Speak of the devil, Ernie's right here. Hi, bud. Yeah, it's also, they're also kind of blind. Like I was like, oh, it's crazy that a lot of animals are born fully blind, like their eyelids shut. And I know like babies come out with their eyes open, but they can't really see for a long time.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, it takes a long time until they can actually process the world yeah. and look at things properly. And they, apparently, right? They can only
well,
see
like, it's,
a foot
it's,
or two
it's like,
in front
well,
of their
they're
face.
Both like, you know, mammals that suck the teat and they like are dogs. This book also says dogs like human babies are the types of animals that really rely on nursing and close contact with mothers
wait,
at
but
young
don't
ages.
All mammals suck the teat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry. That is a definition of mammal. Yeah, yeah. But I mean a definition. I just mean like they also are ones that like, yeah, are very dependent on the mom early on. They don't fall out and like.
Right. You're like, sometimes you see like a giraffe and you're like, it's just walking.
Yeah.
In like an hour. It's yeah. like up and just like. Oh.
Although dogs can swim immediately sort of and babies can't, which is crazy. We chucked our dog into a lake at like 4 months.
Yeah. But you're right. But they develop cool. so much faster. Yeah. By four yeah. months, they're kind of like teenagers.
I spilled coffee on my Rosalia yeah. merch. La Rosalia, I need new merch. She has such a tight grip on my neck.
On your neck?
Like, it's insane how much
you're
Rosalia.
You're dropping everything.
Oh, my God. I'm falling apart. I watch Rosalia clips 48 minutes a day. Okay.
All right. Am I ready for my what'd you learn this week?
Si, senor.
Okay. if you have a strong attachment to dogs or your pets, you may have an insecure attachment style.
Oh no, I'm literally petting my dog right now.
So attachment styles are obviously like what kind of relationships with others you feel comfortable in. And a new study came out that was specifically on dog owners in this case, but they were, you know, thinking it applies to other pets as well.
Yeah.
And they found people who are more strongly attached to their dogs also reported more symptoms of mental disorders and distress.
I'm actually like pushing my dog away. I'm like, go away. I actually don't care about you.
They had a stronger emotional attachment. If you had a stronger emotional attachment to one's dog, it was associated with lower comfort with depending and trusting others and a greater fear of being rejected and unloved.
Wow. Okay. So like, you know, there's like dogs versus cats owners, like tick for the cat owner.
Maybe. Yeah. I definitely can relate. I'm like, yeah, dogs are just innocent and loving and way easier to like trust and emotionally available.
You get dogs because you know they're going to be obsessed and need you. Whereas with cats, you have to have a strong personality to be okay with the fact that they might be like, we don't need you, bud.
Yeah. Anytime my dog even kind of like doesn't feel like being pet, I'm like, oh my God, that's so mean.
And honestly, whenever I go to the dog park and anyone talks to me, I'm like, bud, something's up. Okay. That's so
no, that's mean.
Well, that's okay. So mean. But it's like, I can't say I've had like the most stimulating conversations at the dog park.
Oh, Greg, I have
headphones on. I go, what?
That's a you issue. Okay, the authors concluded that the stronger your emotional attachment to your pet, it might reflect a compensatory. How do you say that word? Compensatory.
Compensatory. I don't know. Compensatory.
Compensatory, like compensation. So
yeah.
The stronger emotional attachment to pets might reflect a compensatory attachment strategy for people who were not able to establish secure relationships to other people during childhood. These people may build more close relationships with pets that might be perceived as more reliable and less threatening. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, having a dog's embarrassing.
No, it's stop. You have a dog. You're annoying.
I know. What? Okay, we're officially in a fight.
Yeah, why you say things like that?
I don't know. I just got two vaccines. I don't know what I'm saying. Okay. What did I even just say?
I don't know. Let's just move on.
No, wait. No, we're going to address this. Okay, is that not what you're kind of saying?
I'm not. No, I'm literally saying I have all these issues. And then you're like, yeah, that's fucking stupid. Those people have red flags. All dog people are boring. I'm like, no, I'm like self-describing myself.
Oh my God, and I am too. I'm saying I have a dog. I'm like that.
No, you aren't.
I love my dog. My dog loves
him
me back.
I love him more for sure.
Okay, are we seriously going to do this right now? I think I love her anymore.
You definitely don't.
Mitch.
Or like I have way more anxiety around it.
Yeah, is that love? No. Is anxiety love?
Greg, have you ever taken him to the vet?
Okay. No, because
do you know how many
fine.
Times he's been? And you have to go every year. Have you ever given him a tick and flea pill? Exactly. Have you ever
trained him? Have you ever taught him one goddamn trick?
Yes, but I know you.
No, teach him trick. I am the intellectual stimulator.
And what good is bottoming the trick bottom doing him?
It's really good party trick. When people come over, I say bottom, and he puts his ass up in the air, and everyone claps, and he feels good, and I feel good. No one cares. No one there cares about the tick and flea.
Have you ever brushed him? Have you ever bathed him? Maybe you have bathed
him. I've also loved to bathe him.
Anyway, I know that's not the only thing that causes love, but I'm definitely his parent.
Oh my God. I'm his peer.
You're his peer. And so he probably likes you more, to be honest. But
it is what it is. He knows we're talking about him because he's panting.
When he's older, he'll turn and be like, wow, that's the one who really took care of me.
Yeah.
And that will be me, by the way.
Yeah. That's true.
But for now, he's like, you're the fun one who just gives him treats. And
while I teach him.
Yeah.
I honestly, we went to the dog show at the X and I was like, I could do that. Okay, continue.
This ad is brought to you by BetterHelp. Here at Side Note, you know we're obsessed with therapy, and that's what BetterHelp is all about. Is there something preventing you from achieving your goals? Can't pinpoint exactly what interferes with your happiness? Try BetterHelp. BetterHelp will assess your personal needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can connect in a safe and private online environment, which means no more uncomfortable waiting rooms. It's so convenient you can start communicating with a licensed therapist in less than 48 hours. You can send a message to your counselor anytime anytime. And what's even better is BetterHelp is available worldwide. If you want to start living a happier life today, as a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at betterhelp.com/sidenote. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/sidenote for 10% of your first month.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Study time.
Study time.
Study time. Study time.
Everyone is so sick right now. It's very scary. And 5 to 20% of Americans are going to get a cold in late October to the beginning of December. And it's happening, people.
I feel like I've already had 3 or 4 colds. And every time I've been like, is this COVID? And I've tested it.
And then we test and it's not.
I mean, it possibly could have been one of them, but it can't have been all of them.
But is this actually what life was like before COVID? Like social distancing, now I'm just like, okay, we're all hanging out again. And I'm like, I feel sick. I feel disgusting all the time. I'm sick. I'm blowing my nose. There's always a yellow green.
I do think that maybe having 2 years of isolation and not exposure to common colds and just rhinoviruses and other coronaviruses, our bodies just don't have the immunity. And part of something I'll talk about in my studies is relating to like how exposure to colds can impact your body, like to other colds that are completely different, but actually prepares your body.
Yeah. And scientists really are right now, like this season's going to be intense because we're all back together. There's the flu, there is still COVID, there's the cold. And it's like, all people are talking about right now is how sick they are. And I'm constantly like dodging people's faces.
I know. And I'm so much more aware. It is funny how back in the past, pre-2020, someone could have like a stuffy nose. And it's not that it never occurred to me.
No,
I could
it
get
didn't,
sick.
Really.
I might not like kiss that person or hug them.
Whoa. Kissing all over
no,
city.
I mean, you know, you kiss your friend on the cheek or whatever. I mean, I would.
Oh,
have been
wow. Well, all of a sudden he's French.
But okay, yeah, I'm like, I guess I don't. There's certain friends that you'd like get really close to or whatever. Yeah. I wouldn't think that much of like hugging and stuff. Now I'm actually like, if I get the hint of a tinge of cold in your nose, don't even come 3 feet from
my
face.
In fact, I will drop kick you. Like I always think about parties and how I used to be like, okay, so we're gonna have some studies about the common cold and what actually helps. And I truly, as a university student, was like, I think if I binge drink, it helps.
Greg used to always tell me, like, no, you just like take a bunch of shots and the alcohol, like,
I'm like, the alcohol's killing the virus. So I used to literally be like, oh, sweet, I have a cold. A party's coming up. I'm gonna go and party. And it's like, no, A, that did not help. Your immune system does go down. We'll talk about it in our studies. B, I just gave everyone a cold, probably. So ignorantly. Like, I wasn't thinking about that at all.
The interesting thing, too, about now is I do think there's a problem where people are like, oh, I'm sick, but I tested. It's not COVID.
Yeah.
I'm totally fine to go out. Totally. Which is maybe pretty similar to the past where you'd be like, oh, it's just a cold. Like, I should go to work or whatever. But it is like, no, just because it's not COVID doesn't mean anyone wants you around, because a lot of colds are super infectious, even though they're not that deadly.
We live in Canada where our healthcare system is to the brink, like absolutely full. And so flu season was always an issue. And I feel like I only have learned about this because of COVID being like, the hospitals in Ontario were built to handle flu season barely, but they weren't built to handle COVID and flu season. That was part of the issue. So now I'm like, obviously I don't think people, the flu is quite debilitating, and I don't think that they would like go out if they had the flu, but they might have in the past. They might have been like, oh, I had a really high fever for 2 days. Now I'm going to go out like the third day.
Right.
But like now I'm hoping we're all going to spend this season
resting.
Yeah. That's
and
what
not
this is
infect
about.
Other people.
Yeah. But it is like the flu is as serious as COVID in the sense that like it is what will fill up our hospitals.
Yeah.
So it's like
and that's ultimately the major risk. Like, of course, for many people, like COVID could make you severely sick, but it's like, especially if the hospitals are full, whether it's the flu, the cold, or COVID, it's like, it's the inability to access the extreme help that you might need. That is one of the barriers of like safety for people.
It's so crazy. Like,
we're still talking about this.
Winter is insane. Almost 3 years. Like living in Canada, it's like everyone everyone truly just starts getting so sick around this time.
Yeah. It's also crazy that truly, and I know this is boring to say, but like 3 years later, we could never have realized. And I know like definitely things are better now. Things are like not as intense, less people are dying, there's vaccines. So it isn't like what it used to be.
Death rate's going up.
Is it?
For COVID. Yeah, it is right now because of what we're talking about.
Just death rates going up?
Yes. In America.
Or death numbers?
No, death rate. It is. Yeah. Wait, so why? What do you mean? Death numbers. Wait, yeah, the same rate thing? I'm turning red in the face. What's happening?
Rate would be like if 100 people get infected, what percentage
die? No, more people are dying.
Yeah, because of winter.
And there's a lot more people getting
that
COVID.
Happens every winter, though. Sorry. I just didn't know. Like, there have been times when the rate's gone up down if the variant is more or less sort of like severe.
No, sorry. That's
okay, so just the...
Your eyes, I was like, oh my God.
Well, that scared me. I was like, why is the death rate going up?
Yeah, sorry. Oh my God.
So do you want to start here then? You had some science around what?
Well, the thing about winter and cold, the common cold, like, I guess what is true, I think a lot of people are like, why is it happening? And it truly is that we are all coming indoors. Mm-hmm. It is drier outside, which like the mucous membrane of your nose and your esophagus does help with the disease. It's now drying out because of the winter. Mm-hmm. You're getting inside, sharing a bunch of viruses, which these all are with people. Like, it is going around. And it's funny because I feel like that common cold like concept is social distancing. Like, it's almost like we didn't understand social distancing prior to the COVID pandemic, but like the common cold, you should continue to think about like that in the winter.
Like, the further you are away from someone, and I mean, obviously there's debate around like, well, if you're just a couple of feet away from someone inside and they're talking straight towards you and they're sick, like you're probably gonna get sick. Or like your chances of getting sick are obviously so much higher. Like, there's social distancing, but then there's also like, don't get together with people who are sick, because just being 3 feet away or a meter away isn't going to save you.
Yeah.
But it is like interesting now that we're bringing those practices into regular life. And I hate how much I realize I chew my nails, I touch my face all the time. And now I've been around a few people who have like light colds and stuff, and I'm like panicking, being like, I can't touch anything. That's good, but as a human, I'm always touching my face and my eye, and it makes you realize like, yes, you can breathe like random particles in, but it's not as common. Like with COVID, it became like, okay, actually that's like quite an easy way for it to transmit. But like the common cold, like, I think a lot of it is like, you get it on you. If you're not putting it in your mouth, your eyes, like your orifices, like it's not going through your skin. Yeah. So if you touch something and then wash your hands, you're okay. But I am somebody who's like constantly touching and scratching and like itching my face.
I remember when COVID hit, they were like, don't touch your face. I was like, what?
Yeah. And I just like put my hands on my face to just like be comfortable.
I pick my nose and eat it. I'm kidding.
I do.
What?
Sometimes. No, I mostly
Are you serious?
I mostly flick. Every now and then you're like, well, there's more for that to go.
Oh my God. Wow. That was a role reversal. I was kidding. That is.
No, it's just, you never know.
Curiosity killed the cat. Also, don't pick your nose. Don't get your fingers in your eyes and your nose and your mouth. Wash them
first. It's the place where, you're going to like be putting virus and bacteria
there. I know.
And I think like the mechanism for protection is not as strong there. Like, at least in your mouth, you have digestive enzymes. Not to say you can't, like a virus can't survive that, but it's like your skin, it's not going to permeate your skin, but getting into your lungs or getting into your eyes, like, you're way more likely to get your cold.
And based on Australia, which we all look to right now because they just like had winter, the flu, the cold, and COVID were all up. So it was a rough season. So it's like, okay, we have to be prepared for that. And the number one thing they said was like, get your flu shot, which I did. Hence me shivering right now. But it does feel amazing. I'm actually feeling better already. I'm like, the seconds are going by, I'm feeling better. Hear that energy?
I mean, you took Advil, didn't you?
Oh my God. We're not sponsored. Say ibuprofen.
Ibuprofen, sorry.
And so like, it will be a very interesting winter of testing for COVID, but even if it's negative, still understanding how the flu and cold spread and social distancing, and I think taking things seriously. Did you just burp?
No, I just farted from my mouth. My lips just were like,
okay, all of a sudden today you're disgusting and I'm not.
I'm taking on the role. I mean, okay, I'm going to talk about this one thing that a study came out this year, was looking since COVID. They were like comparing colds and COVID, and they realized that having a common cold may actually protect you against COVID. Not to say it's a good thing to get it or like to have one, but it was in Nature that this study was, and they realized the T cells that are induced by other coronaviruses, like the common cold, or just like, you know, there's rhinovirus and stuff, can infer T-cell they can recognize SARS-CoV-2, which they didn't know for sure. Like, the idea was like, are they related, right? So they found that there were significantly higher levels of cross-reactive T-cells is what they say.
Yeah.
Some infections won't need the same T-cells. So people who had been infected with the cold, those were able to like protect them against COVID, which I thought was really cool.
Interesting. And it doesn't mean it can, like, that shouldn't be like,
oh yeah, it's not like go get the cold. Yeah, yeah. But in this case, and it wasn't a huge study, but it's still like really fascinating. They realized the T cells targeted internal proteins rather than the spike protein. And the spike protein's able to mutate so much faster, especially because of vaccines, like it has a big pressure on it to change.
Yeah.
But they said the internal proteins actually offer a really interesting look into how to create vaccines in a different way, to focus on those internal proteins.
Because, you know, we focus on the spike, y'all.
Yeah, they don't evolve at the same, or they don't mutate at the same rate, and it's like a different way to tackle, even with like antivirals or preventative medications, or, you know, when you get, or treatment medications, I should say.
That's cool. It makes sense. Like, what I have learned from COVID and all the insane research that we did was like, these vaccines are essentially giving you like T cell mediated immune boosts that are, regardless of if the virus mutates or the spike mutates, that's why when you get vaccinated, you're less likely to be hospitalized, because your immune system's essentially been like trained and gone to the gym around these coronaviruses. So it makes sense that...
I will just clarify, this study was making a distinction between the vaccine-induced antibodies and the T cell-induced common cold protection.
Yeah. Sorry.
So like the vaccines are not necessarily creating the same immunity.
No, I didn't mean it like that. I meant like, when I get the vaccine, I think sometimes people are picturing like, okay, it's designed to literally look at the exact the spike protein.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, that's what we're realizing is not necessarily happening, because these viruses are mutating faster than we can make vaccines. But they are creating T cell mediated responses to make your body better at fighting the infection, even though you might still get it, because you've been vaccinated. Mm-hmm. So that's why, like, even sometimes, like, I did just get my fifth dose, because I'm like, and like when I was talking to them, they were like, because we're going away, they're like, you like, the only reason maybe why you wouldn't want to do this, because I only had one 84 days ago, was because it would be redundant. But they were like, but it will always be giving you that T cell mediated boost.
And I was
like,
that's a different variant too.
Yeah, yeah. But like, I'm just saying, like, it is kind of interesting, because if you get the common cold, it means that there's a type, it's like a part of your immune system that's not the T cell you're saying.
No, it is T cell. I think that's what you're not understanding.
Oh.
The vaccines confer antibody resistance. This is T cell mediated, like, common denominator between the cells.
Oh, okay.
Between the viruses.
But the vaccines also give you T cell mediated.
I don't know anymore. I forget which level of.
No, they do. It's the more generic thing that they do.
Okay, you know, you know.
Yeah, from that's what Black
ultimately this is saying, though, if they were to develop a vaccine from this, because the proteins are more conserved even between variants, like they don't change as much, whereas the spikes, spike has been changing a lot between even Omicron. If they could focus on this level, it would like having a common cold, for example, protects against all of the variants of COVID. It can. That doesn't mean you're not going to get it. It just means like you have like a bit of an advantage.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Our bodies are like getting beat, but at least, you know, immune systems are really interesting and they kind of like learn.
Yeah. It's like one of the most complicated things in biology. Like, it's just so many layers and levels. And then you wonder like, what is there actually anything you can do? Like, we're told, you know, exercising and eating healthy and doing these things all keep it strong. But then I have, you know, recently felt like I've had colds on and off, like nothing too serious, but enough that I was like, do I just have a shitty immune system, period? Yeah. Like, and why? Or is everyone experiencing this right now?
And even like what I was saying about T-cell media, like we were getting confused. It's like, sometimes when I read like intense virology papers, they even say like, we don't really know. Like, yeah, it's so complicated that the immune system is something that is not like the same as like oxygen and carbon dioxide transfer in your blood, which right, we like know how that works. Like, there's so much complexity.
Yeah, it's so many layers.
Yeah,
that, and every like, body is different.
Yeah,
isn't that funny? The word everybody. It literally is every body.
Whoa, I went cross-eyed right? and fell over. Everybody. Everybody. Yeah.
The Backstreet Boys.
Wait, normalize saying everybody.
Yeah.
Like,
instead of everybody.
Come on, everybody. Like, that's what pop stars should say. I like that. I actually think it's
everybody
cool.
Clap your hands.
Yeah. Yeah.
Classic wedding song.
But I do love my immune system, and I do feel like mine's weak, and I hate that.
Well, I have some science on what you can actually do to increase your immune response.
Okay.
Legitimately.
Literally put it in my veins.
There have, you know, there's lots of anecdotal things that have never really come to full fruition. And I'm not, you know, people try to eat garlic or ginger. And there are some, like, there's some light science around, like, well, certain foods
there
that
are
quote unquote boost your immunity, or, you know, going on walks or exercising, yeah, like, quote unquote boosting your immunity. But there's like still a lot of vagueness around,
yeah,
what is it actually doing something.
But
specific?
I do think it is, like, you have to give people, like, there's so much of that stuff online, especially on TikTok, but they are based in studies, but mm-hmm, the studies are just more vague than what people's language around what they say is.
Yeah. And it's like, similar to like exercise, an example. I have a video coming out next week that is like, scientists literally, they know exercise is good for us. They literally don't know why. Like, they cannot, there's like very minimal reasons they can pinpoint, like, this is what happens in your body that makes you live longer or makes you healthier. They're just like, we know people who exercise like live longer, have better comorbidities against, or like, you know what I mean, are,
yeah,
healthier, happier, all these things.
And they'll do similar
but they're
things
like,
with like,
we just don't know why.
And they'll do similar things with like giving people not a tea of ginger and garlic and, yeah, giving them a tea of ginger
like,
and garlic.
Oh, the outcomes
and then
for that
self-report that they were less sick. And,
yeah,
then people on TikTok will be like, ginger and garlic will make you less sick. And it's like, okay,
yes,
what? That's a bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
But you still can't deny that they didn't just make it up from, like,
yeah,
you know,
it's,
I mean,
coming from something. I mean, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes there are just like ways that people have dealt with it. It's very soothing, right?
Yeah.
So like a lot of those home remedies, it's because it makes you feel better.
Yeah.
Like, it can actually, drinking lots of water is good for you and can help reduce like thick phlegm. So like you,
yeah,
feel like you don't have as much phlegm.
Yeah.
And like, I think ginger is also very soothing, and honey is like antibacterial, but it's like a lot of these things just feel nice, which is an important part.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, but tell me,
here's what actually can help you with preventing the common cold and actually minimizing its impacts, even if you already have it. So,
whoa,
this is research from the Johns Hopkins University. Came out this year.
University.
Thank you very much.
Move over, MCU.
John
we
Hopkins,
have the Johns Hopkins University.
That's so funny. They should definitely call themselves
the JHU.
So, they did lab experiments that showed a specific chemical can both fight the common cold and COVID-19. That chemical was called sulforaphane. You may have heard of it before. It's plant-derived.
What?
It's known as a phytochemical. And it's already known, like, it's super famous because it's known to have anti-cancer effects. It can inhibit, now where they know, the replication of SARS-CoV-2, which is the coronavirus that causes COVID, and other coronaviruses. So where do you get this?
What did you say it was called?
Sulforaphane.
Coming to the stage, sulforaphane. What's sulfury?
Well, okay, so I'm going to just tell you.
Yeah, please,
it's natural precursor, so what it can be broken down from is found a lot in broccoli.
Oh God, leafy greens. Why would I?
Cabbage and Brussels sprouts and kale. Now, leafy,
wow,
greens are one thing, but it's important to remember this is like, maybe, I think it's called cruciferous, right? Most of those were cruciferous vegetables.
Yeah.
So like, I don't think spinach falls in that. Even though spinach is so healthy, it's like, these are like a very specific,
whoa,
kind of cruciferous
when
vegetables.
When in doubt,
broccoli,
raw broccoli,
Brussels sprouts, kale. Kale is one that's like really good.
I've been putting that in my smoothie much.
Well, are you sick?
No, but like Mitch is, you were.
I realized lately I haven't been eating a lot of vegetables.
I get why you said that. This morning you were like, Craig, I haven't eaten vegetables in 2 weeks. And I was like, what?
Okay,
and
it's not that I haven't eaten vegetables in 2 weeks, but I used to like be really good at when I made a dinner, just like having a full, like steaming broccoli or making asparagus or Brussels sprouts. Yeah. And then recently I feel like I've been eating out more and just needing to make quick meals that I haven't like had a lot
of vegetables. You haven't had your sulforaphane.
Exactly. So.
And you've been sick.
And they've done two types of studies, one in cells and one in mice. So in cells, if they expose them to sulforaphane before, like hours before exposing them to COVID, it reduces the replication of COVID by 50%. Isn't that crazy?
I'm obsessed.
It's six different strains of SARS, including Delta and Omicron variants.
It's so funny because this sounds obviously like an insane thing to be like telling people from like, it sounds like made up, but it is like, at least I know deep down, no matter what, eating broccoli will always be good.
Yeah, at least this is like not, I'm not just like being like, go and eat shots of vodka.
Yeah, yeah. Or like, it's just so funny because it's like no, regardless, broccoli's going to help, good for babe. You. Yeah.
So what else do I have here? Yeah. So
what about happened to mice?
So it also, I want to say, like I said before, helped with cells that were already infected. So they had cells that were later infected and cells that were already infected. In mice, again, they're not feeding them broccoli in this case. They're just giving them a dose of sulforaphane.
Wow.
It significantly decreased the loss of body weight that's typically associated with virus infection. Hmm. And statistically significantly, is that the right way to say that? Decreased both the viral load and the amount of virus in the lungs, upper respiratory tract, and the amount of injury that occurred in the lungs in mice.
Okay, I want broccoli.
So the caveat I'm going to give,
okay,
it's not a problem. It's just that the researchers are like, don't go out and start buying a bunch of supplements for this. Like, this is not what we're trying to say. There needs to be a lot more research before you just start like highly dosing up on sulforaphane. But naturally occurring in these kind of vegetables, these like leafy greens or like broccoli, Brussels sprouts, eat those. You know, that's going to be good for you, for sure. But they just were like, we don't want this. People will be rushing to stores and buying supplements of this because a lot of it's not regulated yet. And they're like obviously testing this on cells and in mice, like dosage and stuff is still unclear probably for humans.
So much of like nutrition courses in university would be like starting with this biochemical that's in broccoli and Brussels sprouts and then like going through the cellular biology of why it has helped. Like, it is interesting that those vegetables have evolved to be so helpful to us.
I know.
Makes me wonder why.
Like, were people eating broccoli? Like, were like hunter-gatherers eating broccoli?
Well, cabbage is like an extremely like easy to produce in a variety of climates like plant. Yeah. In fact, like for climate change purposes, like cabbage, if you live in Canada and like northern parts of the US, is like the thing to be eating because it's so nutritious and it is like meant to be there other than like shipping in an avocado from like Costa Rica. Mm. And because it is actually so nutritious.
Yeah.
But I do think that it is definitely that. Like Homo sapiens have been eating these things.
I just so want to go back to like hunter-gatherer times and just like look at what they...
Really? Because you're gay and I bet it wasn't accepted.
I didn't mean that. I don't actually want to go there. But I'm so curious. And not to say that they were like necessarily that healthy anyway. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you got to cut. You're done, bud.
Yeah. So it's like we can't just like look back and be like, we should be doing that because they were dumb.
No.
But we like it is interesting to be like, eat lots of broccoli. And it's like they wouldn't have just had like access to broccoli.
No, they wouldn't have. But I know that's very interesting. That is really interesting because it's like, wait. No, it's crazy when you see what Brussels sprouts grow as.
Yeah, you're like that's a Jingle Bells.
Yeah. I know, and it's
if
like
you haven't seen it, look it up. It's literally a stick.
I've never seen that
it.
In the wild. Like it's like what was that not like where genetically modified? Like where did that come from? Like
it probably is.
Yeah, like, I know. That's why I'm curious. Well, it is so interesting because so much of our food actually like literally is genetically modified. Yeah.
Even like apples, watermelons, corn, like if you look at their potatoes. Sort of like original wild versions, they're tiny and look disgusting and probably don't taste very good.
So in some ways it's like the food that we eat in many ways is, if you think about hunter-gatherers, it's going to be a lot different. It's like, you know, truly like quote unquote on steroids, hashtag genetically modified.
Yeah.
Which isn't necessarily like a bad
selectively
thing.
Selectively bred is another way to say it because it's not always genetically modified. But it's just like,
but that kind of is modification of genes through selection.
Yeah, true, but it's not like the literal modification of genes, like putting DNA into plants to like change the way they are.
But it is really interesting because I do feel like there's this weird thing with humans, like when you're a kid, it's like, eat your broccoli, or ew, no. But it's like, why does it always have to be the thing that we like hate?
I mean, I guess it is a weird thing of life where so many things that taste bad are actually the good things for you.
Or like even working out is like hard, but it is good for you.
What is with that?
I think that like, I'm so hyped up on vaccines. I'm like, it's physics. I'm like, it's the laws of nature.
That it doesn't requires make energy to be
Wait,
good.
Does this make sense?
Say it again.
I truly feel like I'm on drugs. So I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, am I the smartest or dumbest? I truly in this moment, I'm like, this is a smart thought, or actually maybe the dumbest thing anyone's ever said.
Okay, let's hear it again.
But I'm like, it's physics.
That's the dumbest thing you've ever said. No, keep going.
No, because okay, like if you think about energy, okay, let's think about entropy. Everything is breaking down, right?
Like falling, like becoming less ordered.
Energy to build up.
Yes. Anything.
Anything. So your metabolism, we get all of our energy from eating food that is broken down, and those literal atoms and like the electrons, like in a crazy variety of ways, are like through your body, like put through an electron transport chain and spitting out ATP, and that makes energy.
Sure. Okay. Sounds a little more biochemistry than physics.
Yeah, I'm
but
really
there's physics in there.
No, that's all physics.
It's not all physics, girl.
The electron.
I'm a biology stan.
The
don't
proton
come for me.
Being on the out. Literally, it's just that the protons end up on the one side of the intracellular matrix of the mitochondria. Then they are pushed through due to
this
pressure.
Is still chemistry.
No, but it's the physicality of the buildup of the pressure of the protons going through the pump that makes the ATP. That's physics. That's force.
Okay. I get that.
I'm really yelling so that no one questions what I said originally because I'm like, it was dumb.
Because then it gave me an interesting thought of like, you know.
This is a side note,
when
by the way.
You eat, well, it's related.
Yeah. Not a side note as when we talk about literally
talking about like how. To build something up, you need energy, right? Like you have to, it requires energy to order to a system in a specific way. So
working out.
Fine. But I'm thinking like processed food is way easier for your body.
It's already broken down.
Yeah. You don't have to do a lot of work where it's actually like your body has to do a lot of work to deal with plants and vegetables because there's a lot of fiber and like stuff it has to break down. That's
whole
working
foods,
harder.
Whole foods contain more energy because they have not been processed by literal machines ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
It is physics. It wasn't as dumb as I thought. And I'm not even stoned.
And so as a result, it's like, you got to put more work in, which is why things that take more work probably taste less good because we know our bodies have to like do all the work.
And there's more energy in them.
It's just the weird part where you're like, why has evolution primed us that way where the things that are easy are not necessarily good for us. But that may not be true, actually. Like, our quote-unquote laziness and quote-unquote craving for bad things actually comes from an evolutionary, like, situation where those things were not present. Like, if you could rest and you were tired, you should. If you were craving sugar, like, and you had it, you should eat it. Or fat, you should have it.
Yeah.
Because you may not get that again for a long time.
Yeah,
so it's like,
true.
We were designed based on a different environment where thinking like we just started that show alone and it's like, what would you eat if you were just in the wild? Like you'd be so hungry.
God, I would eat the nearest mushroom and die instantly.
Yeah.
But I do feel like there is like, I love thinking about life from the perspective of the laws of nature and physics because it does make everything, it's like it turns like eating into a philosophical question about
energy
and the universe, because I'm like, entropy is like increasing, things are breaking down, so it does actually make sense.
The universe is so crazy.
Hot take.
Like, it is so wild.
I love when I
the
forget
universe.
About, no, I just love when I love when I forget about like TikTok and
yeah,
like,
I just had a
and
moment
then,
where
like,
I was
remember
like,
the universe.
You know, we've got these cells in us doing all this crazy stuff, but like as you get more macro and macro, you're like, are we just part of like a bigger chain of how things
are breaking
behave?
Down?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Like
right?
That Earth is like its own version of a cell.
Well, because everything is literally everything is coming from photons from the sun. We know that. All of life, the definition of life is what I said. It's that metabolism, which is all the breakdown of things that are coming from photons from the sun, whether it's the plant, the thing that eats the plant, the bacteria.
Light.
Yeah, it's photons. all from photons. Like, it is all that. Like, actually, that's all.
It's all that. She's all that. The universe is all that. The sun. So it's really the sun.
It's just the sun. Also,
but all those stars
are suns.
But then it's just like, for what?
Well, that's what I mean. That's why I'm like, when metabolism becomes philosophical.
We still gotta do our Alan Watts episode, because that's where the for what comes in.
Really? That's what he talks about?
That's his whole thing. It's like, why are we here? What are we doing?
Can't believe he's white. I just can't believe it. I'm like, I just can't believe it.
But he's reaching into Buddhist philosophy. That's like he was like,
no, I know.
So but that's why taking cultural philosophies that were not where he came from and trying to teach them to the West.
Yeah.
Which is it's beautiful and it's amazing.
Interesting.
It reminds me, like, the Dalai Lama is good at this too, where he's like, we're not going to ignore science. We're going to find a way to use science to talk about spirituality and connect the two in this way that's not about power and structure. It's like liberating people in the way to think about not, you know, how to just be content and happy and enjoy your life. And I find it beautiful when they're able, both of them are really good at taking examples of science and physics and chemistry and relating that to like who you are as a whole. I think it's beautiful.
Yeah, but it is still interesting because it's like, it's still just energy from the sun that made Alan Watts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even the words, he had to eat a burger to say it. Which is crazy. Although, I don't know, does he eat burgers or he has vegan energy?
I don't know. I think he wasn't vegetarian or vegan. I don't think he was.
Canceled. I'm kidding.
I mean, we all will be canceled one day for having eaten meat.
Yeah.
I truly believe that.
Yeah, no, for sure. And
actually, maybe not.
Oh.
Only because I think like if we can artificially produce meat, I think like our relationship to it in general will change.
I'm really loving these side notes.
Great.
Yeah, no, I'm just like, because now I'm like, let's talk about meat. It's awful. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. I feel really, really, really weird.
Okay, should we just stop?
No, we don't need to stop.
I'm just like,
I actually am like, sometimes my body just goes into full shivers and I'm like, I am doing the coolest science experiment on it right now.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't go on forever for you.
Mitch, it's a vaccine. It's not going to go on forever. The best part about it is I wake up tomorrow and then I feel amazing and I'm like, I freaking went to the gym for my immune system. I'm awesome. I'm just rubbing it in because you don't have them.
Because I need everyone to know I didn't get them because I hadn't been feeling well and I just don't want to get it while I'm feeling off.
Yeah, no, I know, but
I have a disease.
Yeah, I still judge. I'm very judgmental.
Greg is judgmental. Yeah, and like I have had a chronic illness that you will not acknowledge. We're not gonna talk about it on this podcast.
Wow.
Is, what do you say? Like, yeah, doesn't believe victims, by the way.
Oh my God. Now I'm canceled. Not for eating meat, but for not believing victims.
Okay, let's get the heck out of here.
Okay, thank you so much for listening. Yeah. We're actually going to end this. I am going to go nap.
Okay. Thanks, sir. Oh, you said it already. Okay. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.